like, you know, that one gift. Maybe when you were little, there was a gift that you like really, really wanted and you begged your mom and dad for. We end up in these cycles of these gifts now where like something becomes the hot item and they get bought and sold out and people grab them and buy them up and then resell them for hundreds of dollars, and it's ridiculous. I cannot tell you why, but when I was 3 years old, I wanted nothing more than a purple Hippo sink. I cannot tell you why. I don't know where I saw this thing, but I wanted this purple Hippo sink. And I was thinking about this week, and I found this online. The one on the left was from 1977. I was born in 76, if that gives you a frame of reference. So the one on the left, I think, was the later model. I didn't want it in pink. I wanted it in purple, and I guess I thought that was purple. I don't know why I wanted this thing, but apparently I wanted it really, really badly. And for whatever reason, my parents, I don't know if they got a relative or somebody to get it for me, and they purchased it for me. Little did I know it was part of a series. This is the turtle oven and the penguin refrigerator, apparently. And all that little stuff in front, those are bunnies. There's a toaster there and a bowl of some kind, and I think a tea kettle. When we're little, we don't know what we need, right? And we ask for some crazy things. Our wants generally are whatever, purple Hippo sink, I don't know. Our wants don't supply what we need. There's things that we want, and those things are maybe good at some point, but there's things we really need. And we've been talking through this series on after the cross, the stories that take place after Jesus dies on the cross for us and before he goes into heaven. And this morning we're going to talk about the gift that Jesus provided through the Father. And it was a gift the disciples needed. They didn't realize how much they needed it. And maybe sitting here this morning, you don't realize how much you need this gift. This gift matters with your relationship with God. And so we're going to be talking about it this morning. The theme this morning is power. And that even the concept of power is misconstrued for most of us. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It's page 882 in the Pew Bibles in front of you. If you need a Pew Bible or if you brought your own, that's awesome. Or if you have an app on your phone, whatever you need to do to find Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 11 verses here about this gift that is provided for you and for me. It says in verse 1, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'I do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth.' After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way You have seen him go into heaven. I want to break this passage down into three sections this morning as we look at what I believe God is saying in us this morning. So just to give us some context of what's going on here, this book was written by Luke, who is a doctor. we don't know what kind of doctor he is. We know this through through history. Theophilus literally means friend of God. This could have been an actual person. In the beginning of Luke, he is called the most excellent Theophilus, which showed some kind of indication of a man of prominence, excellence, an important person. Or it could simply, because of the name, friend of God, it could mean a group of those that follow Jesus. We're not entirely sure. Regardless, it was written to whoever it was written to, and it means something very important to us today. And it has stayed the test of time. And so as we look at this, the first couple verses, it says, after giving them instructions, after his suffering, many convincing proofs, he spent 40 days doing this. 40 days after giving them instructions, after the suffering of the cross, he gave them many convincing proofs that he was who he said he was, that he did in fact rise from the grave. And while he was spending those 40 days, he spoke about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And this is very important. Oftentimes when Jesus was talking to with his disciples, he talked about the kingdom of God being present for them. That God would be with them. That his kingdom would be established here. That he would not leave them as orphans. And on and on and on. The kingdom was coming to earth. And he had 40 days. He was. This was kind of his main point for the last 40 days. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and all the other things that he had been teaching. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand this word baptized literally means to fully immerse, all right? To submerge, as in a sunken vessel. Are you getting the picture here? To be overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the context here. And I need to preface this by, there are a couple of theological situations that are going on here that might be helpful for some of you. Oftentimes when we ask Jesus into our heart, every time we ask Jesus into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes in. Sometimes theologically people call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He starts, he's present in your life. There is also, all throughout the book of Acts that we're going to be looking at throughout the summer, this concept of being filled with the Holy Spirit, that he's in our lives, but he hasn't taken fully control. It's like allowing him into the kitchen, but not giving him access to the rest of the house. Is that helpful? And so maybe this will help you a little bit. How many of you like going to the ocean? Raise your hands. All right, we love going to the ocean. And this is a couple years ago. We were down in Florida visiting my parents. And you can go to the ocean, and you can sit on the beach and look at the ocean. That doesn't mean you were in the ocean. Some of you love the beach and you hate the ocean. Just want to put your feet in the sand and play around. But there's a difference between sitting on the beach and actually being in it. But dipping your toes in it is not fully experiencing the ocean. It washes over your toes. Oh, that's great. But then, you know, when the waves come, you get to that point of, like, no return, like, waist level, and you're like, am I going to do this? Am I not? Like, am I going to? And here's my boys. They were waiting for the big wave to overtake them. And it finally did. You can barely see Jordan's head at this point. The next one, they were fully submerged, and for whatever reason, I didn't get that picture. But the concept here is full submersion. It's not part of the Holy Spirit. It's not getting your toes wet with the Holy Spirit. It's him fully engulfing, overwhelming your life is the concept here. Overwhelming you. And maybe for some of us that seems a little bit scary. Trust me, you want this. I don't know if you've ever been to the ocean and just sat on the beach or just put your toes in. But you want to experience the whole thing when that wave crashes over you and you feel the full weight and breadth and power of those waves. Continues. After he's been talking about the kingdom of God for 40 days, they say, "Hey, Jesus, at this point, will you restore the kingdom of Israel?" And I mean, we have hindsight, right? We have hindsight to look at this. And I go, did you not hear anything that he's been saying for the last 40 days? He was not talking about the kingdom of Israel. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Israel, in their minds, was God going to sit on the throne here on earth and kind of rule, and the concept was man, not full immersion of God in every aspect of life. He wanted them to have the kingdom of God, not just part of him, but all of him. And that was a very different scenario. And he says, instead of answering the question, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And this power word, in Greek, it's dynamai, which is where we get dynamite from. So just think about that for a second, the explosion, all that power that is encased in that thing. The power here resides in a thing by virtue of its nature. That's the concept here. By virtue of its nature, the power is here. So by virtue of the Holy Spirit, this power is present. This is part of his nature. To perform miracles, to perform moral power, to perform influence, to perform the concept of rising in numbers, that there are more than you are not alone. The power that resides over the entire army is the concept here. It's not just a firecracker. This is full-on dynamite is the concept here. Full power. And this concept, come upon you, literally means to overtake, as if, as in sleep. There's that moment at which you don't even realize, sometimes you're out. Suddenly, the Spirit descends, and he's operating in and through you is the concept here. He wants to overtake you. The question is, do we want him to? Do we want him to overtake us? And you will be my witnesses. This is a legal or in an historic sense to get to testify or to give an account. The whole purpose of the power was to witness that Jesus was who he said he was. That's what the power is for. It will do, his power will reside inside of you, all those other things that I listed, but all those things that he's doing in and through you is to testify about Jesus. You don't just get power so you can go, woo, miracle, well, all my prayers are answered. The power is to testify about Jesus, that he was who he said he was, to witness, to give an account. And then he says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, in Nyack, in Rockland County, in the people groups within Rockland County that you don't want to necessarily interact with, in the whole earth is the concept here. That power is not just for you in your home. It's for everybody in your community, everybody in your county, everybody with inside your county that you don't want to interact with, and the entire United States and the whole world is the concept here. So that Jesus gets testified about. Not just so we can have Jesus in our heart, but to give glory and praise to God. I've had the opportunity in my life to see this power in real and tangible ways. And I want to preface this by saying, when you ask the Holy Spirit to fully take over your life, you don't have to have a full understanding who God is for him to move in your life. You don't have to fully understand. You probably won't. It will take you one day longer than eternity to fully understand God. You don't get like a junior version of the Holy Spirit when he comes in. He does what is necessary in and through you so that you know that he is here and that others know that he is here. I went to Russia my junior year of college. Some of you know this story. We went to this animist village in the Caspian Sea. And animism is, they worship gods, and they go visit witch doctors and these kind of things. And we were sitting in an international worker's home, and people were sitting around. There was about a dozen of us talking about Jesus. And this lady had been invited through a friend, and she was sitting there, and she's like, "Well, I don't know about your God, but I took my husband, who was an alcoholic, to a witch doctor, and she did some kind of magic potion over him, and he hasn't had a drink of alcohol in 6 months. What can your God do?" And I thought, oh, crap. I mean, I'm 21 years old. Like, I know nothing at this point. Sorry if you're not 21 yet. You don't know nothing yet. And I was like, Jesus, please, man, show her something. Prove that you're real. And later that night, she asked if some of us could walk her back to the house because the community was kind of dangerous. And I'm a larger guy. And they would feel comfortable if I would walk back with them. So I walked back, and the whole time I'm like, please nobody shoot me. I mean, by dangerous, I mean the cops didn't come anywhere close to where we were. The roads had not been fixed. You literally could lose your car in a pothole. I know we complain here. We ain't got nothing on what was happening in this community. You literally lose your whole car in a pothole. And the whole ride back to her house, I'm freaking out. Like internally, I'm going, Jesus, please watch over me. I'm so scared. And I was trying on the outside to keep my tough, you know, 21-year-old know-it-all self intact. And we got to her house, and I the only way I can describe this is when we walked through the gate, I felt like I was literally walking into a wall of air. It like hit me in the face, and immediately the hairs on the back of my neck went up. And I only likened it to, there is evil present here. I don't know how else to describe to you, but it was like that. And immediately underneath my breath, I was like, enemy, you have no authority over me. I'm a child of God. You have no authority over me. I'm a child of God. And we walked her up to the door, and I said, would you mind if I pray around your house to my God? And she goes, sure, that's fine. So I walked around her house. Lord Jesus, I pray your power and your presence and your peace over this home. I ask that you would encircle this home with peace and that this family would experience your peace. And the international worker was with us, explained to her what I was praying. And we walked home. End of story, right? 7 o'clock the next morning, there's a pounding on the front door. They open up the door. It's this woman. She wants to talk to the kid from America. So I come out, I'm rubbing my eyes. She's got this huge plate of food and sturgeon caviar. And she goes, will you sit down and talk to me about Jesus? Because for the first time in 2 years, every single one of us slept through the night, and there was a peace over our house that we've never experienced before. I'm just a 21-year-old, wet behind the ears, really don't know anything guy. That power, that story testifies to the Jesus that I know. I didn't stop anything that day. Jesus, through me, through the power of his Holy Spirit, protected that family. There's a huge difference. It's not about the power. It's about the one giving the power. Let me give you another one. A buddy of mine, Pastor Eric, he loves to just sit and listen to God and say, God, tell me what you want me to do. A couple years ago, he's sitting on a plane, and oftentimes on planes, he would love to take a rest and relax, and he felt like God said, I want you to talk to somebody on this plane. And he's like, all right, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? There's literally nobody sitting to the right or the left of him. This never happens on a plane. He's got nobody sitting to the right or left of him. And he says, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? And he's looking around, seven rows up. There's a guy sitting up on the left-hand side, and he just happens to notice the book that he's holding that says, Dealing with Divorce. And God said to him, I want you to pray for that guy and talk to that guy. So, all right, Lord, what do you want me to tell him? I want you to write down on a piece of paper, it's not too late. God is with you. Okay, Lord? So he writes down, it's not too late. God is with you. He folds it up, walks up, lays it down on the guy's tray in front of him, walks it, and he sits back down. And all of a sudden, the guy opens up the note, looks at it, lifts up his glasses, rubs his eyes, puts his glasses down, turns around and looks at him. The whole flight ride, the guy is like rubbing his eyes and looking at the note, looking back at him, but they don't engage until after the flight. He gets off the flight, and the guy is waiting for him. And he goes, tell me why you gave me that note. Well, I was sitting on the plane, I prayed, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? The Lord told me to write that down. Jesus told me to write that down for you. It's not too late. And the man started to cry. He said, I left my wife this morning. I'm thinking about divorce. And Eric said, listen, it's not too late. It's not too late. He's like, well, what do I do? Call your wife. So he calls his wife. He tells her the story. And she says, please come home. Eric gives him his email address. The guy jumped on the next flight home, went home. They patched things up, found a church, and emailed him back and said, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. I have my relationship with my wife back. The witness and the testimony is Jesus. The power is through his Holy Spirit, and it changes lives. This is the power and the presence that Jesus was talking about with his disciples. And it goes on. He was taken up before their eyes, and the clouds hid him. The concept here is the glory of God. Literally, the glory of God showed up in the sky and engulfed him. And they're watching that sight. They're looking up, staring at that, going, whoa. And all of a sudden, two men in white show up next to him. Why are you looking so intently into the sky? These two men in white. Why do you stand here looking in the sky? He's coming back the same way in which he left. The concept here, the implication here is stop looking into the sky and go do what he told you to do. Go wait for the Holy Spirit. Stop looking up there. Start looking out there. You have him. Now go and wait for the Spirit. I was sitting this morning going, Lord, I've got these two older stories that I've shared before in years past. It would really be cool to have something new, something fresh. I feel like I'm staring up in the sky, and I know there's something that you're trying to get my attention with, like today. And I walked in here this morning, and I saw Joanne, and she was up on stage playing the bass. And I do this thing I have this relationship with God that when I see somebody that reminds me of somebody, I just start praying for them. And then oftentimes I'll ask, Lord, is there anything you want me to pray for them about? And I was walking up through town this week, and Joanne lives near the church, and I was walking up through town, and I saw somebody that I thought was her, and I almost did one of those, hey, Joanne. But I wasn't quite sure, so I didn't do it, and I was really glad because it wasn't her. But in that moment, I thought, I'll pray for her. And this is what popped in my head. She hadn't been up in a while, and I thought, oh, Lord, I just ask that you would bless her and give her what she needs, and, especially in regards to music. This is so crazy. So this morning, I come in, they're practicing, and there she is. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I said, they got finished, and I said, hey, Joanne, I found myself praying for you this week. Was there anything going on Wednesday? And she's like, oh, let me think about this for a second. And she's like, actually, yes. On Wednesday, she plays in a bunch of bands, and she was asked to play on Saturday, and she was asked to memorize 22 songs that she didn't know. Wednesday to Saturday, that's the time frame that she had. And guess what she did on Wednesday to Saturday? She learned all 22 songs. And so we're sitting here this morning going, oh, God, you're so good. I get blessed, she gets blessed because God is present. And we were talking about how sometimes you know you're like, you just want, like, you know he's with you, but you just want affirmation that he's there. And we both got this affirmation, I'm here all along. I'm here all along. I'm going to close with this. I have the privilege of being the uncle to three of the most amazing nieces on planet Earth. I know your nieces are great. Whatever. My wife, Nanny's, for three of our nieces, there's more nieces, but three of them are present, okay? Three of them are present. And so my wife, Nanny's, for all three of them on Friday, and we get to hang out with them, and I was holding Mickey during the worship, and she was just going nuts. And I was just sitting there going, man, I love this little girl. But you know what's great about being an uncle? It's kind of like being a grandparent. You get to give them back. If they're doing something, you know, at the end of the day, you get to give them back. I think some of us kind of look at God like an uncle. He's good in the moment, he's good for a time, but he's not always there. And Jesus is not your uncle. God is not your uncle, he's your father. And he is present all the time, whenever you need him, whether you realize he's there or not. The Spirit wants to be present, filling you to a measure beyond fullness, overwhelming you, immersing you in his presence and his power and his peace. Your circumstances in which you find yourself in, it may be very difficult to realize he's there, but he is there, and he wants you to know that he is present with you in your circumstances. Your circumstance does not dictate who he is or change who he is. He doesn't cease to become your father. He is always your father when you ask him in. And he wants to fill you to a measure beyond fullness. So this morning, I think there's kind of three ways, maybe there's a lot more than this, but I would love for us to ask this simple question, Lord, prepare my heart to be filled by your Holy Spirit. And then to ask ourselves, do we want to be filled, to be immersed by the Holy Spirit? Maybe we're not ready yet, so that first one is, Lord, prepare my heart to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And please understand, we talked about this last week, all the junk in your life will not hinder him from coming in. He wants to come in to deal with it all. You don't have to make yourself pretty or better to get him or to be filled by him. He wants to make you pretty and better through the presence and power of his Holy Spirit. So don't feel like, well, I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of that. I got to get rid of this. I've got all this stuff I got to get rid of. How about you let the great cleaner of your soul do that work? And you just let him in. So simply, I want us to pray this prayer this morning. Lord, I want your Spirit to fill me. Every aspect of my life, I give him complete control. Maybe he's filled you before and you need to be filled again and again and again and again. And so you want to pray that prayer this morning. Maybe you need help with that. And so after this last song, Pastor Don and I will be up here and we'll pray with you if you need prayer. But let me close. Lord Jesus, if anyone is sitting here and they're kind of thinking about that first one, Lord, prepare my heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would begin to prepare their heart. You begin to prepare their heart and their soul to your filling. Lord, for those that have questions this morning, help them understand it's okay to have questions. They don't have to have it all figured out today. You'll be ready and waiting tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. I just ask that you would show up and that you would show them that you're ready and waiting. And for then those that just want to be filled by you this morning, you're there, you're hanging out in the kitchen of their soul. They want you in every aspect every room, every closet, every aspect of the house of their soul. I ask this morning as they pray that prayer, Lord, I want your spirit to fill me. Every aspect of my life, I give him complete control. Lord, I thank you for doing what you said you would do by giving your spirit. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close by giving God praise.